This is KNBA News. I'm Jacqueline Estes. Wednesday, the U.S. Department of Interior issued notice of a proposal, the first step toward allowing the department to take Alaska tribal lands into trust, which would protect those lands from taxation and seizure and give tribes increased governmental authority over them. The change comes after a federal court ruling that the department improperly excluded Alaska Native tribes from a process long available to lower 48 tribes. Before statehood and the advent of scientific management, Southeast Alaska's herring populations were harvested and depleted. Many believe the herring population in Sitka Sound now is a fraction of what it was in earlier days and wonder if herring stocks, like salmon, can be restored. KCAW's Emily Foreman reports.
Just look at Raven Radio's Facebook page. Photos of active herring spawning in Sitka Sound and hemlock branches coated with eggs are the kind of posts that go viral. It's clear that many more than the 9,000 people that live in Sitka are herring obsessed.
Culturally, it's important, obviously, as a major subsistence resource in the Sitka area, but also very important in trade.
That's Chuck Smythe.
I'm the director of the History and Culture Department at Sea Alaska Heritage Institute.
Smythe says there are places that used to attract herring that don't anymore.
You know, some of the oral histories suggest that herring just sort of stopped coming and moved to another area.
Smythe is working with the Sitka tribe to figure out why they stopped coming and how the population might be restored throughout Southeast. The Alaska Native Fund granted SHI $15,000 to develop a herring restoration plan in the Sitka vicinity. They chose Sitka because it still attracts heaps of herring.
Right now, Sitka has one of the larger herring stocks here in Southeast.
80,000 tons. Jeff Feldpouch is STA's Resource Protection Director.
So if you were looking at transferring eggs to other locations, Sitka would probably have the biomass available as far as herring eggs to be able to do that.
Figuring out exactly how to transplant herring eggs is the tricky part.
You know, I've been told stories about harvesters from other communities who would come over to Sitka and pick up eggs for their community, and on their way home, they would they'd place a few branches in the water in different locations.
Anecdotes like this one will be heavily weighted in the brainstorming process. But a recent study on Pacific herring will serve as the framework. Anthropologist Tom Thornton was the principal investigator for the Herring Synthesis Project. Smythe says it's the most thorough attempt to date at demystifying the Pacific herring. And so why now?
Well, it was just realizing that this significant study had been completed that I came to the realization that it would be good to use that information and try to take it to the next step.
The Herring Synthesis Project combines archaeological, biological, and cultural data. It identifies things like how herring were distributed throughout Southeast, what factors could have changed spawning location, and where herring could thrive, and basically concludes that there are a lot less herring than there used to be.
Probably, you know, before the late 1800s, before there were directed commercial fisheries on them.
Feldpouch says the goal is to return herring to historical levels. The next step? STA will host a panel discussion of experts in June. Thornton's study will serve as the framework for the discussion, and Feldpouch hopes it will be specific.
One of the things we're going to try to identify is spawning environment that would be conducive to herring populations, and a lot of that will be using traditional knowledge and looking back at where herring used to spawn.
He says the project is a productive step and hopes the end product will be implemented throughout Southeast. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Foreman.
I have a correction to yesterday's newscast. A wind diesel technology project involving four villages in western Alaska cost a total of $13.2 million, or $3.3 million per village. The $30 million figure mentioned in yesterday's story included funds for those project costs, plus several workforce and economic development and other projects in the area over a period of more than 10 years. This is KNBA News. I'm Jacqueline Estes.